When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
This car just pulled up behind me while I was up, just kind of between a bush and a telephone pole.
Episode 252 of the Flagship Podcast. This is 20 Minute Tim's. I'm your host, Jamie, and I am joined by Melly.
Yes.
And Stephen.
What's happening, guys?
Nothing. Nothing is happening. Celtic sacked their manager over a month ago, and the hunt continues. The hunt goes on, Stephen. Are you at all, maybe slightly concerned about the lack of action here yet?
No, I'm not overly concerned about the lack of action. I'm concerned about the type of action that's going on in the media, and we'll get into that. But we come to you in the middle of an international break. It's a bit of a strange time for us. This afternoon, we've had the board games out. We were all playing Mousetrap a minute ago. It's a kind of dress down Friday. So we thought we'd just turn the mics on and do a podcast as well. It's weird to be sitting here, just no actual football to talk about. But even then, there's still hurdles to get through. But to answer your question, it's not the lack of action that's gripping me. It's the stories, it's the ramping up of certain rumours that we've had to put up with in the last few days that's had me ever so unnerved.
Melly?
Hey, the same as Stephen. It's the rumours that are getting to me. I think I wouldn't expect to see a manager appointed down come in now. I think it will be at the end of the season, probably after the cup final. But rumours recently about Roy Keane, and even Simon Donnelly on Sky Sports today saying it would be brilliant if Roy Keane. That's just crazy. No right-minded Celtic fan wants Roy Keane in right now. It wouldn't make sense to him, Dane. These are the sort of people that are holding the club back. The people that maybe the board listen to and think this is a good idea, I really hope they're not in any way trying to think this is a good idea, because it's simply not. No Celtic fan wants a battle between Steven Gerrard and Roy Keane. They want a good manager.
There's two type of people, Stephen, that want Roy Keane as Celtic manager. One of those people are Celtic fans who don't pay into games. So if you perhaps live in Italy and you used to run the SPL, or you're an ex-player interviewed by Sky Sports, you want Roy Keane as a Celtic job, because supporting Celtic is just entertainment to you. That's all it is, and this will be box office and all that sort of stuff. The second type of person that I feel wants Roy Keane as a Celtic manager are men with a real hankering for the past. Men who live maybe in the times of the 90s, where football managers punched people and smoked cigarettes and shouted in people's faces, and the pre-match meal was steak and chips. Those are the only two people I see online that want Roy Keane as Celtic manager. This hasn't stopped, though, his name becoming, he's pretty much favourite for the Celtic job, but he has been the last couple of days. You know, folks, we don't pay attention to what happens in the bookies. That's an absolute nonsense. But in terms of the person who's been spoken about most, Stephen, it is Roy Keane. I'm presuming it's a no from you as well.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I think we even started to talk a wee bit about this last week, but it seems to have ramped up in the intervening days, or in the days in between. So, yeah, we're kind of forced to talk about it again, because for a while there, it looked as if, oh, God, this looks like a done deal. Nothing really happens like this without some fire being behind all the smoke. So especially when Stephen McGowan started talking about it in the Daily Mail, I thought, oh, God, goodness me, this is my worst nightmare. I mean, it's a difficult one, because nothing against Roy Keane. I think the last time we spoke about it, last time we recorded the Flagship, was I said, look, he's one of my football heroes, but I cannot draw the straight line between that and being the Celtic manager in this day and age, 10 years on from his last job. And I know he's been in and around football, but he spent the majority of that either A, in the Sky studio, or B, working under fellow yesterday's man, Martin O'Neill. I don't want to insult these guys, but to talk about them taking the management job in 2021, not only that, but at this time, at this very specific time for Celtic, when we are needing a complete reshake from top to bottom, I don't think a reshake is a word, but shaken up, half reshape, half shaken up. So
yeah,
somewhere in between those two things.
Because there wasn't an initial shake.
No, a reshake.
Correct. That would mean that a first shake had taken place and that hasn't happened.
A second shakening, yes, correct. So we don't need a reshake at all. We need a reshape and a shake. So at this very specific time when we're talking about progress and taking the opportunity to modernise the club, the idea that Roy Keane would be anywhere near that conversation is baffling to me.
The good thing about it is, from my point of view, if Celtic need a manager, if Roy Keane was going to be Celtic manager, there's no reason why he wouldn't be a Celtic manager already. Because he's sitting about doing nothing. He's made it abundantly clear he wants to be Celtic manager. His people have made it clear with all these leaks into the press and all that. There's nothing stopping Celtic appointing Roy Keane as Celtic manager. And you could perhaps say they wanted to speak to four or five candidates before making their mind up. But I just feel that if Roy Keane was the guy for the job, and this is the thing I'm consoling myself with, if Roy Keane was the man for the job and the people making the decision, then they would have appointed him. Dermot Desmond, you know, there are questions starting to emerge from our podcast and from other places about what's going on. Dermot Desmond gave an interview, I'm using Neil Lennon air quotes there, he gave an interview, the softest of softball interviews, to the Celtic website, where he tried to settle a couple of scores. Some of it was a bit mind-boggling to me. He was asked, when can we expect the appointment of the manager? He just says the process is underway and they're playing their cards close to their chest and they'll make an announcement publicly. He asked who's in charge of the process. He says the chairman and banker, Peter Lawl, and himself take the lead in the process, and the incoming CEO will also participate in any decisions, and that's absolutely fine. He was asked, can you give us the idea of the type of candidate you're looking for? He basically said no comment, which was bizarre to me, why you wouldn't just delete that question out of the webpage after you put it up. He basically says, I don't think it would be appropriate to make a comment on what type of manager they're looking for. One thing that struck me, you know, there's two parts to this. He goes on to talk about how the season went on and all that sort of stuff. On the manager though, Melly, what interested me there was no mention at all of director of football.
No mention of director of football, and he did specifically say manager, didn't he? And even the questions had the word manager in it, which is quite worrying, to be honest. I think, as Stephen's already said, we need a restructure here with Celtic. If Celtic were to bring in a manager, whoever that may be, it might be a good manager, but what happens in 2 years when they go, if they leave or have to be sacked? Where do we go from there? We'll just be stuck in the same position we are right now with Neil Lennon, where we don't know what we're doing next. The thing about Neil Lennon and Roy Keane coming in as managers is, look, these guys coming in, yes, they might do okay for a bit, but nobody's going to want them. So at some point, you're going to need to sack them, because they're not guys that people are going to want to go, well, he's done well at Celtic, let's go out and get them. They're done down in England. So if Celtic are going to go down this manager route, I don't really understand it, because we need to be a team that's ready for succession, and we're never that. That's why we're in this mess just now. When Neil Lennon was thought about getting replaced in November, the first thing we done was go to Martin O'Neill and Gordon Strachan. We cannot have that anymore. And then now to think if they want a manager like Roy Keane coming in. If Roy Keane's coming in, he's going to need all the help he can get, and that includes a director of football, because his record at Sunderland, where he signed a ridiculous amount of players he's played with, it just wouldn't make sense. And I really worry that the club aren't going to move towards a director of football. It would be a crazy decision to make for me, because I think we need it. We need to be a modern football club.
Mel, you've hit upon something there that hadn't really occurred to me previously. Where are these guys going to go after Celtic? Because see, when Celtic appointed Brendan Rodgers, the danger was always that he was going to leave for so-called bigger and better things, go back to the riches of the Premier League and all that. That was always the danger hanging over us at all times. If he's successful, that's where he's going to go. But I'd rather live with that threat. I'd rather live with that peril that the manager's going to go and find something better because he's been so successful at Celtic, he's going to be sort of headhunted by someone else, than have a guy who has no prospects of going anywhere at all. Roy Keane is never going to go and manage Arsenal or Man United or anything like that. So that it hadn't previously occurred to me just how much of a dead end that would be.
Are you, Stephen, worried about the lack of chat about director of football in this interview from Dermot Desmond?
I understand the need to not just go spewing everything out there in an interview when really there's no information to be dealt. The whole thing, I'll be honest here, the whole thing seemed like an opportunity to, one, say, I'm a pure Selig Daft, Selig Daft board member, like majority shareholder and all that, and two, to have a go at Brian Dempsey for questioning the running of the club. That's all it seemed like, and the rest of it was all just total flannel. As you say, there are a number of questions in there that seemed like they could have just been deleted. It was like that old thing from Father Ted when he's given some sort of speech and he's like just flicking over his page, and now for the liars, and he just starts having a go at everybody. It was kind of like that. The director of football, I didn't fully expect that to come out, because I've got the impression from Celtic over the last month, so however long now, that if they want to go down that route, they don't necessarily want to admit it in public just yet, because it would be kind of an admission of failure over the last season, and Lord knows they've been avoiding that as much as possible. There was a mention in that interview to making the wrong calls as a board. Didn't go into further detail, but I think we can all probably speculate on what those are. But there has never been any admission from them that a restructure is needed, and mentioning directors of football would be seized upon, not necessarily in a negative way. I think we're all looking for that. That would be a sign of progress for us. But I don't know if they necessarily want to, or all that keen on showing their hand just yet. It just seems like a pointless interview to me, if I'm totally honest.
Yes, yeah, so decision making in football is not an exact science, and I accept without qualification that we have made some wrong calls. I would be interested to know what he thought those wrong calls were. We will endeavour to learn from those. I know the interview ended with him saying, what your hopes for next season, again, that we recruit a manager that plays football the way that all Celtic supporters want, and we give the manager time to implement their own plans. After that, I am sure much more success will follow. A really vague interview with absolutely no content whatsoever. I was speaking to someone during the week there who was saying that the Celtic are playing things very close to their chest. Usually there's whispers, leaks, and there's none of that coming out from Celtic at the moment. They said that, this is this person's thinking, not mine, they says that the rumours and the search for a director of football was, a couple of months ago, was ferocious. It was a buzz all over the world of football. People were talking about Celtic looking for a director of football. And in the last couple of weeks, that has went quiet. There is almost no chat whatsoever of Celtic appointing or anyone moving to Celtic as director of football now. So the jungle drums on that front aren't beaten. That person posited the idea that perhaps Celtic have decided on a manager, and either that manager doesn't want to work under a director of football, or that manager wants to bring in his own man or have a say in who would be the director of football. Would you be comfortable, guys, with a manager coming in? Say it was Eddie Howe. And Eddie Howe says, look, I don't want to work under a director of football. I want to work with a chief executive, a scouting department, me and my coaches. I want a more traditional model. Would you accept that under the right manager? Or do you think we really need to have a look at how the club is run long term and make sure these changes are implemented now?
I say long term. I think it's the best way, because if the manager doesn't work out, then what happens then? You have to get rid of everybody from top down and start all over again. Whereas if you have a director of football in who brings in a manager, they're sort of planning for if, when he does leave, and then somebody else can come in to have
Can I give you an idea though? Can I just play devil's advocate? I don't want another Melly and Jamie, the argument from last week that everyone was talking about.
You lost that one.
I saw the poll you won. You know what? It's funny, Stephen. You can be in a room with 100 people and 99 of them can still be wrong and one person can be right. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
Landslide.
Melly, let me put this to you. Landslide. Let me put this to you though. Celtic bring in the director of football, he points a manager. The structure is pucker. The structure is what everyone wants. Next season, we don't win the league for whatever reason. The season after that, we don't win the league. Are you trying to tell me that seriously people are not going to start taking sight of this director of football as well? Is the director of football's job really any safer than the manager's, should Celtic not return to winning ways? Because I can see a situation where people go, that director of football's no good, he hired the manager, he needs to go as well.
That will definitely happen. That will 100% happen. We will. The Celtic fans, I don't know if it's just Celtic fans, because I'm close
it's
to
football
this.
Football fans, they're always looking for someone to blame.
Of course, we're more familiar with Celtic fans, of course, that's what we pay attention to, but we're not good at that. Immediately when results start going the wrong way, we start looking around at everybody. What's his job? Is he a defensive coach? What's he doing? All that kind of stuff immediately comes out. And I joked in the past about how long it would take for Lee Congerton to get the blame for everything. And sure enough, that came as well. So no doubt that if a director of football comes in, ostensibly, the first one we've had of those in a long time, we've had something resembling that in the past, but so much has been made of it this season, there would be a big appointment. As soon as results didn't go our way, that would be a big target.
Yeah, that's always going to happen. If you're not successful, you're going to look at the whole structure of the club. And of course, it has to be looked at. What we've looked at under Brendan Rodgers, we knew he was a good manager, but the signings that were coming in after away were not good enough. So you're looking to the director of football or the head of football operations, whatever Lee Congerton is, the guys he's bringing in, they weren't good enough. It's going to be the same next season. Whoever comes in, if a director of football comes in, they'll be judged on what they do, not just what the manager does. You can tell, I suppose it's a wee bit different between the manager and head coach. You can see if they're doing things right, you can see it on the pitch, where it's the style of play, changing things tactically and all that. But the director of football will be probably judged on signings, and that's his job, so that'll be fair enough. So yes, it's no guarantee that if you bring in a director of football first and then a head coach or a manager with a director of football, they're all going to get judged on their merits.
I mentioned Eddie Howe there just to give an example, but he's another guy who, I've got to say, I'm getting more and more curious about these Eddie Howe links. One, they're not going away. Whilst I appreciate that, doesn't mean much. He's also not in a job yet. Now, it seems curious to me that someone of Eddie Howe's stature, he won't be short of offers. You know, teams looking to move their manager on, people start putting out the feelers and things like that. Eddie Howe's not really been taken up by MD. Nobody's moved their manager on with a view to getting Eddie Howe in. Based on absolutely nothing at all, I think that there's maybe... I'd be very surprised if Celtic haven't at least spoken to Eddie Howe's representatives. Yeah. Is he still the top pick for you, Melly?
Yeah, he's still the top pick. Somebody actually messaged me the other day saying we have spoke to him, but he's been decent in the past, so I'd take that as on board. But I'd like to think so. It'd be crazy for Celtic not to go out and speak to a guy like Eddie Howe if he is available. I think... he'd be my number one choice. I think he's the ideal fit for Celtic, and he's the guy that's sort of been there and done it. He's sort of moulded Bournemouth in his own image. He got built them up from the very bottom right up to the top, made them a more modern team. So I think he could do that with Celtic as well, working with other people. And he's worked under a director of football before, and mainly the main thing is with him, he plays an attacking style of football, and that's exactly what you want to see at Celtic.
Stephen, what's the most important characteristic for you for the next Celtic manager? Is it the style of football he plays? Is that of key importance to you?
Celtic-minded, mate.
Yeah.
Apart from that, though, sure. Second of all is, I think style of play is always going to be important, and I think that's what puts off a lot of people with certain candidates, I mean, namely Steve Clarke. I think that's the biggest concern over him. I'm not saying that he's incapable of playing attacking football, because he's never really been at a club that would... facilitate or necessarily kind of allow for that style. You're not going to go into a club like West Brom or Kilmarnock and just start playing like Barcelona 2011 style football. That's fanciful. I wouldn't say he's incapable of it, but we've just never seen it from him. We've never really seen anything else from Steve Clarke, but it is a big concern over a lot of people. In fact, it's probably the only concern over Steve Clarke is the style of play he would probably bring to Celtic. So it is an important factor, of course it is. But there are a number of other things, namely a few things that Melly's just said, such as modernising the club, the ability to develop players, an eye for a player and all that kind of thing.
Mm. Does he need to know the city, mate? Is that what you're
Eddie Howe has wasted some money on strikers. It's kind of like the Chris Wilder argument, or the Chris Wilder thing we said last week, that he has wasted some money down there, but it's a very difficult market they're shopping in, a team like Bournemouth and Sheffield United as well, because... yes, you might have spent 20 million or whatever it was on Dominic Solanke and it didn't work out, but the only reason they're as expensive as they are is because Liverpool don't need 7 million that Dominic Solanke would normally have been for. To get them to the table, they need to offer something stupid and Dominic Solanke end up costing £20 million. It's an inflated market down there. Not only that, it's a seller's market. Clubs don't have to sell really for any reason, so you need to turn their heads with crazy bids, and that's what Bournemouth have ended up being lured into, just like everyone else does in England. So I'm not concerned about the transfer record, because he brought in a lot of good players as well, like Nathan Ake and a number of others. So Eddie Howe is probably the guy to me who ticks the most boxes of anyone who's been shouted. I don't know if it's realistic, because Eddie Howe, as you said, Jimmy, a guy with standing of that level, he will be an attractive appointment for a number of clubs.
Newcastle is the other name sniffing about Eddie Howe, apparently. So, you know, that's a difficult one for Celtic, in my view, because big name Premier League club, if it's a toss-up between Celtic and Newcastle, a guy like Eddie Howe, for me, with no affiliation to Celtic at all, is going to take that Newcastle job, isn't he?
More than likely. I know the only thing that puts people off Newcastle probably is the Mike Ashley factor, but he's trying to sell. So there's every possibility that if you get in to a club like Newcastle and they're bought over, then they could be a lot more successful than they've been for the last few years in the very near future. So I know that's why Rafa Benitez wasn't keen on going back, but it's been quieter in England in terms of managers moving around than I expected it to be. Maybe it's the quote new normal, all that's been going on, TM and all that kind of stuff. So maybe it's that. Maybe it's just an unusual season. The managers haven't been losing their job as readily as I would have expected. I would normally have expected Steve Bruce to have been sacked by now. There's talk of him replacing Roy Hodgson at Crystal Palace, but do you really want to sack Roy Hodgson in his last season in football, probably? So why would you do that to the old guy? So it has been a wee
surprise
bit more...
he's not been shielding.
it's been a wee bit more stable in England than I would have thought, or else Eddie Howe's name just might be off the table by now.
Another name that came out last week. Now, look, every day we a podcast and a Twitter account and all that is tweeting who's going to be the next Celtic manager. I'm going to say we don't know unless one of you are sitting on it and you've not told me yet. All the things that I've heard are Celtic are playing this incredibly close to their chest. And if you hear any rumours in the press specifically about who's going to be the next Celtic manager, those are not coming from people connected with Celtic. Those are coming from people connected with whichever manager's trying to make himself known or make himself, get himself in the room with Dermot Desmond to have the chat. You mentioned Steve Clarke there, Stephen. Steve Clarke, obviously, manager of Scotland at the moment. Euros are coming up. Steve Clarke, if he was going to be Celtic manager, obviously couldn't he take that to the Euros had been finished. I'm not particularly enamoured with Steve Clarke either, but people will view him as a safe pair of hands. But for me, Melly, waiting until the Euros is done before Celtic get their new manager in it, again, it's just one of these stumbling blocks that I think Celtic shouldn't even really be considering. They shouldn't consider Steve Clarke because I don't like the profile of manager that he is. I think he wouldn't be well suited to Celtic given the style of football he plays and all that sort of stuff. That being said, Steve Clarke's obviously a talented football coach, a talented football manager. He can play more than one style of football. That's just a fact. He can play more than one style of football, I'm sure of it. But I wouldn't be keen for waiting until the Euros is done or waiting until he's finished with the Euros before he comes in and starts the job at Celtic.
No, there's simply not enough time, I don't think. I think Martinez has been mentioned as well, but I don't see MD that's going to the Euros. I just can't see it because the qualifiers come so quickly after that Celtic have got a lot to do this summer, and we need somebody that's going to come in probably 1st of June, ready then, and come straight in and be there for pre-season training. I don't think Steve Clarke will be there, and that's not good enough. And watching the past two Scotland games over the last couple of days as well, it's... The brand of football he plays is really, really poor. Now, Scotland, yes, make them hard to beat, but Austria and Israel aren't that much better than Scotland, and to not go and attack those two teams is pretty poor, in my opinion. So I think Steve Clarke's he's put me off him after watching the last two Scotland games as well.
A name that I heard of another guy that was interested in the Celtic job was not Roberto Martinez, but Sean Maloney. And that's Sean Maloney as a manager in his own right. He's trying to break away, become a manager. He fancies himself as good enough for the Celtic job, is what I heard. He was obviously a coach. We've got a Patreon interview with Sean Maloney when he was a coach. Melly, what level of coach was he? Can you remember when we conducted that interview?
He was the under-23s assistant manager because him and Damien Duff both got big jobs off the back of that. Damien Duff got obviously brought up with Lennon, and then Maloney went on to Belgium.
He was highly respected as Celtic as a coach. Again, not one I'm particularly keen on, Stephen. In fact, I'd go so far as to say if you're going to give Sean Maloney the Celtic job, you might as well give it to John Kennedy.
Yeah, there's probably an argument for that. The Sean Maloney thing I would be up for if it was part of the oft-mentioned new structure. I think that would be absolutely fine, as if we've got the backing in place for a guy like Sean Maloney, who has, he's kind of put the rounds in with Celtic. He has been at almost every level imaginable with Celtic as a player and as a coach, and he's coaching at the highest imaginable level just now. I think that would be fine if he was coming in as a first-team coach with a director of football behind him. And, we get 2 or 3 years out of him, hopefully he's successful, move him on, and in comes the next guy. If he's got aspirations beyond Celtic, then great. I would be fine with that. I don't know if I'd necessarily buy into him as a manager in his own right, because I don't know if he's really... Well, he definitely hasn't done that just as yet. But I think as a personality, he seems suited to it. I was really impressed with Sean Maloney when we all met him that day where we had an interview with him. So I think he's suited to it at some point. Whether it's now, I don't know. whether his stock is as high as it's ever going to get with him being connected to that Belgium job as the number one team in the world, arguably. But I would maybe like to see Sean Maloney be a club coach first, because I don't trust that transition from international football to
Celtic
club. I'm always wary of that.
Here. Yeah, right, Celtic can't mess about. We can't be taking chances. Celtic are an attractive proposition. Celtic have got money. Celtic are potentially heading into the Champions League. There's a really good job here for a really good manager to come in. You're going to have money to spend because we need to buy players. Hmm. You're going to have almost a unique opportunity to take a club the size of Celtic and mould it in your image.
Yeah.
That's almost unique, because the amount of players you're going to have to buy. You can play whatever style of football you want as long as it's attractive and winning. You can get whatever players you want. You're going to be able to buy yourself almost a whole starting 11 of players. You've got some quality players already at the club. This is a really, really unique challenge. And I hope the Celtic board, I'm sure they do, but I hope they appreciate what... I mean, I've said it before, I'm not going to bang this drum again, but we shouldn't simply be looking at out-of-work managers or guys looking for the first managerial job. We should be able to go down to the English Championship, the English Premiership, some of the top five leagues in Europe if we wanted to, and poach a manager from a middling club and say, here, how about this for an offer? Come to Celtic, 30, 40, 50 million to spend, the most any manager's had to spend in 20 years that we're going to hand you over. Champions League football, opportunity to work with director of football, opportunity to have a say in who the director of football is going to be, opportunity to buy your own starting 11, opportunity to play in front of 60,000, all the stuff that Celtic can offer. It's a massive job for somebody. And I really, really hope that we take our time and get the right guy. But on the same note, I don't want us to faff about for months and months and months and take our eye off the ball again, because there is so much to be done. It's a key appointment. It's a very important time for Celtic.
Selling a little? Or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
This season, things have gone badly wrong at Celtic. The manager's departed following a disastrous campaign. The chief executive has announced that he's standing down and handing over the reins to a new incoming CEO. The first team, led by an aging captain, looked to have many key players on their way out of the club. There's no doubt that the next couple of months are going to see a lot of upheaval at Celtic. You might even call it a rebuild, and that's going to affect the boardroom to the matchday squad. Over the next few weeks and months, we'll be producing a series of feature podcasts that we're calling Project Rebuild. These will include professional scouting of all the positions that we think Celtic need to fill next season. establishing transfer targets and reporting back on the strengths and weaknesses of each of those targets. We're also going to interview industry professionals within football operations to shine a light on how Celtic need to move forward. We'll be discussing key roles such as director of football and talking to people within the industry about what that role looks like and how it should be applied to our club. We're going to talk to sports psychologists to understand how the players can bounce back next season and look to see what might have affected their performance this season in the season of COVID. With a new head coach coming in, we'll be looking at all the candidates as they emerge from both an analytics perspective and a local knowledge perspective, picking up with local journalists, podcasters and bloggers familiar with the candidates to tell you guys what we can expect. Project Rebuild will be exclusively available on Patreon along with all of our regularly scheduled content. It's going to be a huge summer for Celtic and we are going to be there to cover it all. Project Rebuild kicks off this weekend with a profile piece on incoming CEO Dominic Mackay from someone who's worked with him for over 10 years. Head on over to patreon.com/20minutetims and sign up to the treble tier or above to enjoy these special feature podcasts that we are calling Project Rebuild. You heard there about Project Rebuild, an exciting project that we've got going on Patreon. It's on the treble and all in tiers. So as part of it, we're going to be looking at all the managerial candidates from an analytics point of view and from a local knowledge point of view. We've already had Enzo Maresca. We've had a look at his analytics. Melly did that podcast with the fantastic Ross Goodwin behind the Boys Analytics Twitter account. Next up is Eddie Howe, where we'll be looking at the analytics behind Eddie Howe's managerial profile. So check that out over on Patreon. The big news, obviously, from Celtic this week, though, is that Scott Brown announced that he's joining Aberdeen as a player coach at the end of the season. He was offered a one-year deal by Celtic to stay on next season. There's been a lot of talk about how Scott Brown should maybe stay on to assist the transition in this period of upheaval at Celtic. Let's talk about that first of all before we go into Scott's career. Stephen, do you think there's any merit, and do you think there would have been any merit, rather, in keeping Scott Brown on?
I understand it. I understand the need to do something like that, or the perceived need to do it, but I just don't know. I think it's the right time. Now, we'll talk about Scott Brown's career because the two things can exist side by side. You can talk about how much of a legend he is and how successful he's been, with also an eye on the idea that it's probably just time to do it. This Aberdeen thing is not an abandonment of Celtic towards Scott Brown. It's a good opportunity for him. I would be totally against offering Scott Brown a two-year contract at this stage of his career. Totally against it. Celtic can't do that. Aberdeen have, and that's a great opportunity for him to, one, take the next step in his career, and two, prolong his career a wee bit. And that's probably what he wants to do. So I understand I wouldn't like to call it panic, but there has been a little bit of that. There's been a little bit of kind of running around thinking, oh, what are we going to do? Scott Brown's leaving. I do understand it, but what I would say about that is it has to come at some point. It has to come. So whether it's now or in a year's time, Scott Brown is going to have to be replaced. So I don't think it's all that urgent that we kept hold of Scott Brown to transition into the next manager. I think Celtic will be fine. I'm less pessimistic about it than other people seem to be. I think there's a lot of turning to Scott Brown as if he's the only thing holding the club up. Even if he is, Celtic need to move past that. Celtic need to kind of totally change that. They need to stop being a club that's held up by three guys, and it's Peter Lawwell, Neil Lennon and Scott Brown. So I think I'm okay with it, to be honest, with Scott Brown leaving. I was surprised that it has been announced because I expected them to take another year on, but I look at that as a good opportunity for both Celtic and for Scott Brown to move on.
I've got to say, I kind of feel like there's two Scott Browns. There's Scott Brown the player, right? There's Scott Brown the spreadsheet that we've all been swamped with this season about Scott Brown's contribution on the pitch, and whether or not that's good enough for where it should be, comparing it to like-minded players in the league and like-positioned players in Europe and the sort of players Celtic could buy and yeah, yeah, yeah. And I don't think there's any doubt that Scott Brown's contribution on the pitch this season hasn't been great. Nobody's contribution on the pitch has been great for Celtic this season, but I take the point on about Scott Brown and his age-based decline and all the rest of it. But there's two sides to Scott Brown's game. There's that, and then there's Scott Brown who knows what it takes to be a winner. Scott Brown, who sets the standards at Celtic. Now, setting the standards doesn't always mean you're the best player on the pitch. You know, some people are like, oh, well, how can he possibly set standards? He's been terrible in midfield this season and he should have scored 15 goals instead of 6 and blah, blah, blah. But he sets the standards at Trinity. He knows what it takes to be. He's been at Celtic an awful long time. He has won almost everything there is to win as a Celtic captain. He is a strong competitor. mentally, he's obviously a very high operator as far as effort and work rate and output goes. He is a very useful person to have about the dressing room, and I think he is going to be an extraordinarily difficult player to replace, because we spoke about it last week about the profile player we've got at this team, and I think that that is the probably the key player profile we need to look at recruiting next season, is not just a Scott Brown, the midfielder, defensive midfielder, combative midfielder type player on the pitch, but we need to go out and we need to sign somebody who knows what it takes, who's been around the block, who's an old experienced head, who can bring proper standards to this club. Because one thing that we've all bemoaned, Melly, over the past couple of months is this quote, dropping in standards. When Neil Lennon came, the standards dropped. Well, Scott Brown set standards for himself. Scott Brown was part of these extremely high standards for a very long time at Celtic. And we're losing another guy who knows where the bar lies when you're a Celtic player. So I agree Scott Brown probably needs to go. There's a degree of trepidation from me. I would have Scott Brown on happily next season, playing a bit part, you know, being a fourth, fifth choice midfielder, you know, just as a backup. Certainly wouldn't want a first choice, but there is a degree of trepidation. I'm certainly not doing any cartwheels that Scott Brown is leaving and joining Aberdeen.
No, it was a strange one. I feel a bit like Stephen, where the whole time I've thought, look, it's time for a clean break at Celtic. Lennon's gone, Law's gone, and maybe it's time for Brown to move on. But as soon as it was announced, I was like, feel it pure shite, just want Scott Brown back. It really hit home how much a Celtic guy is, but
You stumbled across the word legend there, Melly, so we're obviously going to go into this, so I'm going to ask you, why did you stumble? Well, you were about to say legend. Did you stop yourself deliberately? Do you think he's a Celtic legend?
Well, it was unintentional. He's a 100% Celtic legend. Yep, no doubt about that in my mind. I don't think there should be any doubt in anybody's mind. He's a Celtic legend, one of the best I've seen. But when you're talking about we need a leader, somebody to replace him next season, I'm not really sure on that. I think Cal McGregor could do that, and I know they're two completely different players, but we've all heard how Cal McGregor was a disciple of Rodgers. He wanted the standards to be higher under Lennon. I think he could take it on. He's been at the club long enough, he's won enough trophies, he knows what it takes and all that. And when you look at major clubs, like Jamie, who's the Man City captain?
I don't know.
Who's the Man United captain? Who's the Liverpool captain? So it's Fernandinho's Man City's captain, Harry Maguire is Man United's, and Jordan Henderson is Liverpool's.
Yeah.
Scott Brown's a dying breed. You don't get guys like that anymore. It really doesn't exist, and I think we need to move on from that as well. Because
do you not think he's the mould of Jordan Henderson? Jordan Henderson's a bit of a Scott Brown type mould guy.
Yeah, but he's grew into that because he's been there that long, and because he's been the captain. He was never that when he was younger. Scott Brown grew into it as he came older. I think Cal McGregor could do that. Now, he's not going to be the same type of leader. The Scott Brown, the player, will be fairly easy for Celtic to replace if they go out and get a decent player. But the leader, maybe not so much. But I don't know if you need that as much anymore. I don't think there's many of them about in football. And for Celtic to go out and get one of them.
Yeah, I disagree with that, Steve. Do you think Celtic need a leader? Do you think we need somebody like that?
Well, I mean, every club needs leadership. But I think what Melly's saying makes sense. I think there are different types of leadership, because the Man City example is a good one. Fernandinho is the captain there. He's quite similar to Scott Brown in that he's a 35-year-old combative midfielder who's kind of sunk back a wee bit in his position. But I think Man City are going to let him go at the end of this season as well. Prior to Fernandinho being the captain, and I know people are sick of these Man City comparisons, but it's quite an apt one in that they're the best team in England, and that's what I want to be for Celtic. That's what Man City, like it or not, are kind of a lot of what I want Celtic to be at the moment. Prior to Fernandinho, it was David Silva. Their vice-captain this season is Kevin De Bruyne. Sergio Aguero has been in there as well. None of them scream leader. None of them have got that heart in the sleeve.
You can lead by example in your performances, can't you?
Exactly. You can be a leader without it having to bust out of every pore of you, kind of like Scott Brown does. I'm not saying this is better than the Scott Brown version. What I'm saying is there are different types of leaders.
Yeah, but my point to that would be, if you look about these clubs whose captain is not necessarily the Scott Brown, they have other, I mean, Man City are a really difficult example because that's a team just absolutely oozing with quality in every area of the pitch, operating on an entirely different level. But these clubs have got these leaders dotted throughout the pitch. So it doesn't always necessarily have to be the captain. But if we remember what we were talking about last week on the podcast, like Celtic are a team they've got a soft underbelly, this Celtic team. So what I'm saying is, say we have two leaders in the team and you call it Callum McGregor and you call it Scott Brown, right? And Craig Gordon might be one and Lustig might be one, but they're gone now. So there's two left. That's us. When we lose Scott Brown, we're losing 50% of that quality, which normally wouldn't affect these other teams, but I think it's going to impact us more. I mean, I wouldn't be, it will never happen, but I would not be averse to Celtic going out, losing Scott Brown at the age of 35, 36, and go down at the Premier League and getting somebody along the lines of like James Milner or something. Replacing Scott Brown with an old head on wise shoulders that's been around the block, that's played at a really high level, that sort of thing.
An old head on wise knees with James Milner.
An old head. It was a bad example, but I'm trying to think of. I really wanted to say Scott Parker because I always liked him as he moved into his latter years, but he's way, what is he, about 40 now?
Manager. He's managing. get him in.
So, get him in. Stretch it out, Scotty boy. You do us a shift.
It's a tough one for Scott Brown as well, because ideally, yes, you'd probably like him to stay on next year and then say, oh, then you'll go into coaching. But Scott Brown was sitting there with an offer from Celtic, which wasn't probably what he's wanting. And he's got this ideal offer from Aberdeen where he's going to be a player and have the chance to develop his coaching as well. So being selfish, I'd want Scott Brown to stay on next year, not play as much, and then go into the coaching staff. But he can get that elsewhere straight away, so I can completely understand why he's left.
I see Shea Logan scarpered. He signed a deal with Hearts.
Is he gone?
He's done a runner. Look, you said it, Millie. Scott Brown's a Celtic legend, full stop, no discussion. It's obviously the nature of these things. Everyone's going to have a say. But Scott Brown, to me, I love Scott Brown. Scott Brown was an incredible Celtic captain. One of not always my favourite player, admittedly, but certainly that he hit a crescendo when Brendan Rodgers came in, of dominating domestic and European football at times, but dominating the domestic game like no one else I'd ever seen. Some of those Glasgow derbies, and he loved it. Just watching these performances on the pitch against Aberdeen, Hearts, Rangers, the swagger, he's getting chopped, he's getting up, he's putting the sunglasses on. How many Hun careers did he end? How many guys came into Rangers being the next big thing and Scott Brown just stuck them right in his pocket? I'm looking at you, Joey Barton. I'm looking at you, Graham Dorans, to name two. These were epic battles. These were battles for the ages, and Scott Brown came on top and he loved every minute of it, and I loved every minute of watching them, Stephen.
I'm looking at you. I tried to think of a really comedic example from the Caixinha era, but I struggled to call it. Carlos Peña, that'll do. I'm looking at you.
Oh, bloody Carlos Peña. There's so many. That wee striker that had the Joker tattoo in his hand was meant to be the next big...
Jason Cummings.
Like, Cumdog, aye, a wee Cumdog. Obviously, Scott Brown never single-handedly saw these guys away, but he bossed that. And
yeah.
This absolute rubbish about, you know, at the end of the day, Scott Brown was still strutting about this league at 35-year-old playing for Celtic.
See the chat about this, though, is there isn't a legend, right? There is no debate, and that's not me doing the typical Twitter thing of presenting my opinion as fact and just saying fact in capital letters at the end. It's not a debate because history is in charge of these things. In 10, 15, 20 years' time, Scott Brown is still going to be of the same level that he is just now. He's still going to have all those trophies. It's not up to one person or even one group or even across the kind of course of the fans to decide who a legend is. The fact that Scott Brown is there and cannot be moved from his stature at Celtic now, I saw a debate going on the other day on Twitter. It was, you know, whether Paul McStay was a wee bit overrated or not, because he was a cracking player but never made the push to be like a top class player. And that's fine, you can have your opinions on that, but it still doesn't matter because Paul McStay is Paul McStay, and you're not going to change the opinion of history on who Paul McStay is. So Scott Brown is in that bracket now. It's not necessarily about his talent as a player. We're not talking about him as being like Jimmy Johnson or even Paul McStay or any guys like that, but what he's done for the club can't be erased now, and it is up there with anyone.
How good a player was Scott Brown? Forget everything else. How good a footballer was Scott Brown, Melly?
I think there's two Scott Browns. There's a Scott Brown pre-Brendan Rodgers, and there's a Scott Brown post-Brendan Rodgers, like you said.
Absolutely,
yeah. He got that second three.
I think there's three Scott Browns. There's pre-Brendan Rodgers. There's pre-Brendan Rodgers, right? There's during Brendan Rodgers, and there's after Brendan Rodgers. Mm.
Yeah, and even before, from when he first came to Celtic, he was seen as this box-to-box dynamic midfielder who was the next up-and-coming thing. surprisingly didn't join Rangers after Derek Johnson categorically stated it would happen. Lovely stuff there. But when he joined that first season, he was sort of, he didn't quite settle in well. There was suspensions, there was wee bits of injury, and he lost his place towards the end of that season, and Barry Robson and Paul Hartley got Celtic over the line. So he's never been, up till and maybe when Ronnie Dyla came in, he wasn't a number one choice in central midfield for Celtic. He was in and out. He had a good season. Even under Mowbray, Celtic didn't win the league, and he still got Players Player of the Year, and then he was made captain in January 2010. But even under like Neil Lennon, he played out in the right-hand side a lot for Lennon in a midfield. Celtic had a lot of good central midfielders, Key, Kaya, Wanyama. It wasn't until Dyla where he sort of cemented his place in that midfield. And even pre-Dyla under Lennon and all that, he missed a lot of big games for Celtic. He missed the Barcelona game through injury. He missed Samaras Sunday through injury. So I always think he was inconsistent. He wasn't considered that main man, despite being the captain. But as soon as Brendan Rodgers came in and just totally changed his game, the guy just went off in another stratosphere. It was absolutely amazing to see what he could do.
Important notes along the way here are that, one, that season where he came in at first and lost his place, and a lot of people will point to that, him losing his place in his first season, as the reason Celtic won that title race, the famous title race of 07-08, because of, as you mentioned, Melly, the Hartley and Robson combination. But it was around about that time he suffered, you know, just the most unimaginable of personal tragedies. That's when his sister died. So that, there was a lot at play for him, and it's a testament to his, you know, his strength that he bounced back from that. Not only that, but 9 years ago now, I think it was 2012 that he was diagnosed with a degenerative hip injury as well. So the fact that he's playing in his mid-30s at all, again, points to the willpower, the strength and the drive of the guy to still be not only playing, but even in a debate as to whether he warrants a new contract at, you know, the biggest club in the country. So a lot of ups and downs in Scott Brown's Celtic career. But you're absolutely right. Once Brendan Rodgers came in, and it's all out there, the stuff Brendan Rodgers often says. He'd love to take some credit.
We cut him off in this podcast, didn't we?
Oh, 100%. I would have been perfectly happy for Brown to go after Dyla, because I don't think he played particularly well under Dyla. He was maybe involved a wee bit with the kind of general undermining of Ronnie Dyla. Now, it was later it turned out that I think we all accept that Ronnie Dyla wasn't the right man for the job anyway, but there was the sort of wee group of players that just didn't take to him. Scott Brown wasn't the main one of those. It was kind of Charlie McGrew, Chris Commons, but Brown was an influential figure in there as well, and probably didn't do his job necessarily as a senior player to help with the Dyla situation, right? So there was that. But after Rodgers, completely different. As I say, Rodgers would probably quite happily take sole credit for Scott Brown's career. He quite likes that in interviews. But
that's the problem with Brendan Rodgers, isn't it? Because you read these great quotes and you think, is this all just a lot of flannel? How much of this is actually true? How much of my reading here is true?
Well, even if it isn't true, it's one of those proof in the pudding sort of things. Scott Brown's performances after Rodgers came to the club were night and day. He was absolutely incredible from that point on. His style of play changed. His lifestyle changed hugely. Remember the previous season was the one where he'd lost in the semi-final to Rangers, and there was run about the time where he was, the famous picture of him eating a kebab in the street and all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
After that point, totally turned it around, and he was Mr. Professional. From that point on, he was captain, leader, legend, all that kind of stuff. That totally changed his career. Whether Rodgers did it, single-handedly doesn't really matter, because the fact is he did.
Because Brown had to do it himself, didn't
he? Well, yeah, that's what I mean. It's like the fact is it did happen. He took on that mantle, became a more professional player, and a much, much better player as a result.
I mean, Brendan Rodgers does take a lot of credit. He gave Scott Brown that ultimatum, that famous story about inviting Scott down to the house and telling him what he expected from him and how he could be the best player he could be, and tactically how he wanted to change his game. And even Brendan Rodgers said that prior to joining Celtic, he was told that if he wants to play the way he wants to play, then he'd have to move Scott Brown on.
Yeah,
so I think you're right. I think you're right, Melly. I think Scott Brown really took on that mantle and really bought into what Brendan Rodgers wanted to do, and it made Scott Brown the best that he'd ever been. What are some of your Scott Brown highlights then?
Well, after this, there's a few, obviously doing the Bruni and all that is all brilliant. That goal at Ibrox was amazing, but it wasn't a winning game. But after, when Rodgers comes in, just won everything, absolutely everything. He was always the guy in the podium lifting the trophies. Every time you see Celtic lifting a trophy in the last 10 years, Scott Brown is there hold it up. And it's incredible that the first season under Rodgers, for that change, when you thought maybe Scott Brown's on the way out, Joey Barton's coming in, thinks he's the big dog, and Scott Brown absolutely bossed him in that 5-1 game. Absolutely bossed him, took the piss out of him, and then got that famous interview after where he said, "I was just looking to see if he's okay," from Scott Brown today.
Brilliant.
Pretty much written off.
Post-match interviews were brilliant. Some of them are amazing, but it's kind of odd. Amazing.
For Scott Brown to be written off by people, us included, the season before, to come back and captain the team to an invincible treble, one of the best seasons ever at Celtic, then to go on and win 4 trebles in a row, is absolutely incredible. He's been amazing, and oh, what a guy.
I think Scott Brown Stevens' best achievement is turning Andy Halliday into a national laughingstock, single-handedly. Remember that date? Remember that one where Andy Halliday absolutely lost the Ragwick Cup final? Was that, Melly? Or was it the Cup semi-final? I'm sure it was a Hampden
semi-final.
Halliday lost the rag, and they asked Scott Brown what was all that about, and he said that in the post-match, I think he was just coming over to congratulate me.
Was that the one after which he gets cited for not acting in the best interest of Scottish football, yeah, or something like that? Remember that push? I don't think he was ever charged for it, but he was brought up in front of SFA Beaks or whatever it was for not acting in the best interest.
Was that not the 1-0 game where they absolutely lost the rag? The picture of Kent punching him and all that.
You're absolutely right. It was definitely that one. I knew it was one of the many times he'd bammed up the bells. But that was great. A personal highlight for me is I don't think anything could be, there are many highlights, right, but I don't think anything could be more literally Scott Brown than his goal against Beersheba a few seasons ago in the qualifiers, when Celtic were in serious bother in that game. Yeah. Serious bother. I watched that in Amsterdam, and ironically I was far from chilled out during that game, so I was pretty stressed out of that game, because it looked as if it was going to be out of Celtic's grasp at one point. But Scott Brown scored a huge goal. Even the manner of the scoring of the goal was very, very Scott Brown. If you remember, he came through and sclaffed it wildly into the defence with his left foot, but still found a way to get the ball over the line. Celtic were in deep trouble, and once again Scott Brown dragged them out of it by smashing home the ball at the second attempt. And I just thought, looking back on it, because I was watching a few of his goals today, I thought there's nothing more Scott Brown than that goal.
Just when you're saying that, Stephen, even just one highlight popped into mind was last season. Remember the game against Hamilton where they scored a goal in injury time to make it 1-1? It was a couple of days before the cup final. Scott Brown goes up the pitch and finishes, puts us ahead in the league, gives us that energy going into the cup final, because that would have been points dropped. I think Rangers were dropping points that night as well. So to get that last minute goal, captain pulls you through then. I don't think if he'd have scored that goal, maybe, but it's unlikely we'd have done the cup final at the weekend, because that gave us the belief going into that. That's just the kind of character he was, man.
Goal at Rugby Park.
Still, he's not
can
dead.
Offer you, I can, he's not dead. He can offer you the goal at Rugby Park and red card.
Oh, yeah, of course. In that luminous strip thing that wasn't the most popular of things, but I've got fond memories of it for those reasons.
I love that strip.
Great one. Yeah, me too. It was a slow burner, that one.
We can't talk about Scott Brown here without mentioning the Bruni. One, iconic. Yeah. Two, what a finish. That was.
He had a couple of that. Yeah, that's right. I've come to this having just freshly watched one of these YouTube compilations of his goals over terrible, terrible free music in these compilations, right? But there was a couple where he just cut in and bent it around with his left foot, which he would normally be just used for standing. So, yeah, he had that in his locker. I have to admit, I have an uneasy relationship with the Bruni, because it holds trauma with me as well, because, unfortunately, the end of that season resulted in Diouf doing it, holding the trophy, right? So it's difficult for me to separate the two, because I think of that and I just get this horrible, horrible sinking feeling in my stomach when I imagine how it turned out. That doesn't take away from the fact that it was brilliant at the time and one of the most iconic moments of the 21st century for Celtic.
100%. You've absolutely nailed it. They're absolutely iconic. And just all the stuff but anytime someone has come up against Scott Brown, right? Anytime anyone does anything other than talking on the football pitch against Scott Brown, they come off second best.
Yeah.
It's all the time. Every single time someone has tried something, they've come off second best against him. And he's been an absolutely brilliant Celtic captain. Is Callum McGregor merely the natural successor?
In the squad right now, yeah, you'd say so. You think he's possibly one that's going to be in there next year. He's came up for the ranks as well. I know it's not everything, but yeah, I think so. I think Christopher Ayer could have been in with a shout if he's going to be there next season, but that looks unlikely. I think Cal McGregor's the natural.
And as far as him going at this moment, yeah, there's a lot to celebrate. It's a time for celebration and looking back on his career and all that, but I still can't help but feel it is the right time to go, because it's kind of what we said all along. We all sat here at the start of this season and said it's probably Lawwell's last season, it's probably Lennon's last season, because it would be a great chance to go away having sealed the 10 in a row, and it's probably Scott Brown's last season as well. So really, what's changed other than Celtic not having won the league? Yeah, we could talk about him overseeing the transition from one era to the next, but unfortunately you don't really get to pick your point of continuity. The disaster that everyone's worried about, we're already in. We're already deep in the middle of the biggest disaster I can remember. So that's already happened. Yet we hope, right? I say this with my fingers crossed here. There's no guarantees that Celtic will be in any better position at the end of next season than they are now, right? There's no guarantees. We all hope they will. None. We all expect they will. So the only thing that's guaranteed in that is that Scott Brown will be a poorer player this time next year than he is today. So I can't help but feel that it's the right time. It's a good opportunity for him, but all that's left to say on it is thanks for the memories, because what a ride it's been for, what was it, 14 years or something like that?
Yeah. 14 years, 10 unreal. League titles, 6 Scottish Cups, 6 League Cups, potentially another Scottish Cup if we can seal this season off on any sort of high. So before we move on to talk about the next match and an opportunity for Scott Brown to finish in a high, any last words, Melly?
Scott Brown, legend, leader, good player.
Oh, I'm nearly crying. That was beautiful.
That is so beautiful. We don't normally do t-shirts, in fact, that doesn't it, but do you know what that would be, that to put that on a t-shirt, Stephen, would cheapen that. We need to get that on a memorial bench somewhere,
on his statue, his inevitable statue outside Celtic Park. We need a campaign for that to be written at his feet forever, doing the Bruni.
What was that, Melly? Legend, leader, good player. For a professional podcaster, and that's what you are, your way with words is unbelievable. So anyway, the Scottish Cup is resuming this weekend. Celtic have got a match. We didn't need to rehearse that. Melly actually, dear listener, Melly actually asked us, can we say any more final thoughts on Scott Brown, because he wanted to say that. He's got it written down in his best handwriting. Celtic v Falkirk, first question, why are we playing Falkirk at 7:30 on a Saturday evening?
I know, the hits keep on
coming. I know
coming
we're all locked
season.
In the house, and I know time doesn't matter anymore, but that's absurd.
I know. That's probably the second worst kickoff time of the season. Was there one? No, there was one on a Sunday night, wasn't there, quite recently?
It was Ross County, Stephen, a bad omen when we lost to Ross County in the League Cup. Another evening kickoff at Celtic Park, if I remember correctly. I think the Scottish Cup being resumed, obviously Celtic to end the season on a high, it's a chance for Scott Brown to end his career with another bit of silverware. John Kennedy, unbeaten as Celtic interim manager, we're not really expecting too much in the way of a challenge from Falkirk, are we, Melly?
No, they're a decent team for their level, but they are in League One. They are top of the league by 6 points. And look, the league's only recently resumed. They've played 2 league games and a Scottish Cup game. So they've only played 3 games since January, I think. They've won all 3, to be fair, so they're in decent form. But Celtic should be taking good care of them here. Well, not good care, they should beat them quite handily.
The opposite.
And as you say, look, the Scottish Cup was maybe something we were thinking, can I really be bothered with it? With the announcement from Scott Brown, I really want Celtic to win a trophy, and I want Scott Brown to win a last trophy at Celtic Park, because he deserves to be lifting that trophy just before he heads off.
That's one thing we maybe didn't mention in our gushing tribute to Scott Brown a minute ago, is that it's sad to see him go out not in front of the fans. Oh, he'll get a chance to play at Celtic Park again, presumably with Aberdeen. Well, unless he comes back and we just boo him. But he will get the opportunity to see the fans once again. It's just a shame he didn't get to go out with the fairy tale ending that this season promised. But with the opportunity to win the Scottish Cup, that is something, at least. That is something that Scott Brown can hopefully sign his Celtic career off with. Funnily enough, the last time we've played Falkirk was 2012, and Scott Brown scored a penalty. Do you remember that season where he scored 6 goals, and a few of them were... He was on the pens for a wee bit. I have memories of having seen Falkirk back in the day at Brockville, when they still played at Brockville. Worst pitch in Scotland. It was like this sandy effort. I don't need to ask who I was there with, but I seem to remember Chris Waddle playing, because he was at Falkirk very briefly in the kind of the mid-90s, I think he was. Yeah, I'm sure I saw Chris Waddle play at Brockville, but a long time ago, and they had this hideous, like, checked shirt as well. It was kind of like grey and black or something like that, horrible looking thing. So great memories of taking on the mighty Falkirk.
It's good to be back to the serious business of football. You know, we're not giving Celtic a free pass. The league is over. Aye, League Cup is over. Yep, you're out of that. But this is an opportunity under new circumstances with Neil Lennon out the way to at least one last chance, Celtic, to show us that you haven't completely checked out of this competition this season. You're not all just waiting to the end of the season. This competition has been more or less sprung on us. We weren't sure up until very recently whether it was going to go ahead. It is going ahead. We've got Falkirk, the Champions Rangers, I've got Cove Rangers. I find it inconceivable.
You were going to say something else there. Rangers have got Cove Rangers.
Yeah. No, if they were testing themselves properly, we'd know if we had COVID, but they obviously don't do that testing. Did I say that loud? I think it's inconceivable that we're not going to meet them in this tournament. Mm. I just think it's inconceivable that we're not going to meet Rangers in this tournament, the way things are stacked up. So we kind of let them get a double. We kind of let them go invincible. Every game presents an opportunity to make us feel better about this season, Celtic, and that's really what we need you to do.
You're saying this cup is made up of a load of cup finals, four or five cup finals until we get to the cup final. Absolutely agree, yeah.
And on that bombshell, I think that's where we will wrap up. Stephen, would you like to say goodbye?
Yes, cheers, folks. Goodbye.
Melly.
Goodbye.
And it's goodbye for me. Thank you for listening.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.